and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Now, let's start with news that the Benteng Lahad Datu cluster saw a significant spike in the cases in cases for the second day running. Now, according to the DG of Health, Dr. Nur Hisham Abdullah, there's been no community spread as yet. However, the cluster has been contained within the Lahad Datu District Police Station and Tawau Prison. Now, this is similar to the previous cluster detected at the Bukit Jalil Immigration Detention Centre. If you recall, back in July, that detention centre saw 200 cases in a single day. Now, the index case, as a patient zero of the Benteng cluster, were two undocumented migrants that were detained at the Lahad Datu police station and later tested positive for COVID-19. So in his briefing today, Dr. Nur Hisham said, to quote him, "What is more important is we tighten our borders and step up efforts to trace undocumented migrants," end quote.
Yeah, I mean, what is most important? And that's, I think, something that's quite contentious. Mm. I think just looking at the facts of the case, Melissa, you'd think that it's not so much the question of who the index cases are, the identities of the index cases,
right,
but really the SOPs that were put in place for the prison or the police station, right, when apprehending and detaining anybody, that is, part of some criminal investigation.
Right.
So that, again, making sure that these institutions and these spaces are safe, right?
This is the government itself, right? This is government SOP, executing government SOPs.
Right, so many individuals have been fined, compound fines have been given out, even custodial sentences have been given out for people breaking the SOPs that have been written for the rest of the nation. The question is the government itself able to, put in place these things in environments that they are completely in control?
Right.
So, I mean, isn't that the real issue, as opposed to saying, oh, we need to control our borders?
Right.
Controlling our borders, not a problem. Nobody's disputing that. But the question is, in this cluster, there's a story. What is the lesson from this story?
Well, what are the lessons learned from the Bukit Jalil Detention Centre? Because the Health Minister has reported that that cluster, the Bukit Jalil Immigration Detention Depot, that's now been closed. They've ended their monitoring there. It's the 96th cluster that has ended monitoring, but we have 10 clusters being monitored so far. And you're absolutely right. This was a detention center that was an outbreak, a cluster outbreak. So you want to know what was it that we learned from that cluster now that the monitoring has ended, that perhaps we can ensure that no new clusters emerge from other detention centres.
Yeah, indeed. Melissa, we'd see this in other countries. Their blind spots. Singapore, the huge blind spot was because of migrant dormitories. Again, the issue is not the migrants, but the dormitories. The dormitories are the spaces.
The setting, right?
The setting, right? And the ability to either for hygienic practices or social distancing. That's really the issue. Whereas I think very often we signed in social media or even the mainstream media, a focus on the identities
right.
of those who are infected, not on their social conditions.
This disease knows no nationality,
Absolutely.
No ethnicity.
Anybody can get it, right?
For sure.
So then, and pathogens are everywhere. The issue really is the conditions under which people find themselves.
Okay, well, let's take a look at some other news. We have seat negotiations between Perikatan National Coalition members. That's not going very well for Parti Solidarity Tanah Airku, or better known as Parti Star. Now, according to the party's president, Jeffrey Kitingan, Star wants about 15 to 18 seats allocated for it in the Sabah elections. However, at present, they're only being offered between 6 to 8 seats. Now, if I may quote Jeffrey Kitingan, he said, "We don't want that. If that's the case, then it's better that we go into the elections alone." So we have nominations for the Sabah elections happening this Saturday. Polling, meanwhile, is going to be happening on the 26th of September. So this is really crunch time in terms of seat negotiations.
Absolutely, Melissa. So what didn't he want? He didn't want the 6 to 8 seats, again, that were offered to them. Now, not good enough. 18 seats would constitute about a quarter of all the available seats, right? So there are about 73 seats at stake in the race. 18 seats is about 25% of that. That seems significant. The question, of course, is what is the negotiating power between the different parties?
What leverage, right?
What leverage they have within their coalition? They're all apparently partners in the same struggle, on the same side, but they are also rivals.
Right, yeah. And I think it's quite interesting to take a look at some of the comments being made, because, again, it's not just about the seat allocation. Jeffrey Kitingan saying that UMNO and Barisan Nasional have been dominating discussions in trying to secure the rights to field the most candidates. And to quote him, I think that's really important because it really does reflect the sentiment on the ground. He says, voters are now saying that Semenanjung parties are getting more seats than local parties. He believes that Barisan Nasional seems to be controlling the narrative, and that is something that for him is unacceptable.
Right. So he was also saying that Together Star and PBS, they would take 30 to 32 seats in the contest, at least a lot of seats still for UMNO and Bersatu. Mm. But we also understand that UMNO and Bersatu themselves are also rivals. And so the question then becomes the ability for these coalitions to find a compact, right? Find an algorithm, or a formula of seat allocations which would be fair to everybody.
Well, my question is, where is this coming from? The leverage that Star Jeffrey Kitingan is saying that they want 15 to 18 seats, if I'm not mistaken. Because if you look historically during the 2018 elections, Star fielded about 20 Sabah Legislative Assembly candidates. They only won two. So, whether or not they have the kind of the heft to be requesting that many seats is another question.
Yeah, but also, Melissa, the analysts are saying that Star is quite popular within some Kadazan, Dusun, Murut areas, and therefore might be, and you see this in other coalitions, you might yourself might not be able to carry, all these seats, but together in a multi-ethnic, multi-confessional identity type coalition, you need all the different components. That's how Barisan Nasional worked, right? So the important thing is that there's a sense of what the overall configuration would look like. That, again, is, and because that will be there with the Warisan group as well, and the jostling. And if it's not between parties, it will be within parties and the different individuals, all of whom, it seems, a lot of Malaysian politicians want to be elected officials, right? So there's a lot of competition there. So the competition does shift, I think, sometimes between parties, sometimes within parties, but there is competition, and that, I guess, is the democratic game.
Okay, well, I guess everything, seat talks need to be wrapped up soon, since nomination day is this Saturday. We will be bringing you all the latest developments here and on Astro Awani. But we're going to take a quick break on Consider This. After this, we'll take a closer look at the direction of our foreign policy amid rising tensions in the South China Sea, which is one of the busiest waterways in the world, and also the site of a long simmering territorial dispute. So all of that coming up, so stay tuned.